Good morning.
Ooh,
that's hot. Well, my name is Pastor Mark. I know. Y'all haven't seen me in a while. So I guess I need to stop saying I'm going to stop talking about something because then I get it. And then it's like, it's all downhill from there. So I have missed you guys, believe it or not. It's been a long, almost a month, I think, I've been out. So it's good to be back. So keep praying for Dawana. She's still not doing really well. I know there's others that are out that are sick just with normal sickness, and then, of course, people with COVID and stuff. So they definitely need your prayers this morning and continued prayers. So let's just open with a word of prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you that we can, again, just come once again into your house. Father, we just lift up those this morning that are doing well, that are sick, either with the COVID or with other things going on in their lives. Father, we know there's lots of other things going on. This morning with people with illnesses that have nothing to do with COVID, but it seems to have all the attention at the moment, Father. We just pray for those that have other issues that are going on in their body. Father, we just lift them up. We just pray your healing power over their life. Father, we know you are the great physician. We know you heal, and we pray that this morning. And Father, we just thank you for this time that we can just celebrate the birth of Jesus. We celebrate this time of year, and we just thank you that Jesus, that you did submit yourself and did come to be born the most fragile of people into a baby. And so, Father, we just thank you that we have that opportunity, that we don't forget what the season's all about. It's not about the gift giving. It's about the greatest gift we will ever receive, and that is the person of your Son, our Savior. We just thank you for this reality this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, O Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. You brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is a king. Yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silenced the foes of sin and shame. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a wonderful name it is,
the name of Jesus.
What a beautiful name it is,
the name of Jesus.
Heard alive, singing, singing all the praise. Lord, we just thank you that you came here humbly as a baby, but also in the most humblest of circumstances. Not born in a castle, not born in any fancy suite or anything, Lord, but born in a stable, Lord, and put in a manger. Lord, may we continue to seek after you and reflect who you are in this season and in this time. Lord, in this world today, it seems there's a lot of selfishness. A lot of what can we get? Lord, I pray that we would actually just turn from that, Lord, and say, what can we do? How can we serve? How can we humble ourselves to bring glory to you? Because it's exactly what you did, Lord. You humbled yourself before your Father to bring glory to him and to invite us as sons and daughters of the living King. And we thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. Sweet hymns of joy.
Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Heavenly Father, we bless Your name. Lord, everything that has gone on this year, we turn around and we bless You. We still believe, and I still stand on the fact that the circumstances that surround me do not define my God. You are ever changing, always constant, Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank You for that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. No, I'm just contemplating. I'm trying to remember if I know how to do this anymore. I don't know if you guys got the bulletin today. You need to check out the cartoon. It's pretty good. I love your sense of humor. It's awesome. So...
So I'm going to speak this week, and then I get another week off next week because we're going to have a guest speaker next week. Barbara Taylor is going to be here next week. How many know who Barbara Taylor is? A few of you. She is our, what do you call her, our liaison, I guess, to India. So she spends a lot of time in country, and she'll have, I'm sure, a lot to tell us next week. So come prepare to be blessed from the word and what's going on in India. And so we support Pastor Kumar in India. And as far as I know, we're still his sole support. Or do we know if he's got any other support? So, Tammy should know that. She's our missionary person. See, I haven't gone for a month, and you guys just fall apart. I know. Well, you guys did really good. I watched, and I've listened, and I've heard reports. You guys have done really good. He's not here this morning, but Chris covered for the first 2 weeks that I was gone. I really appreciate that. He jumped right into that, and I know I haven't gone back and listened to him yet, but I know he did a good job. I've heard lots of good things from that. And then last week, I watched the last part of last week. It will not be that short today. I'll just let you know. but it was good. I always like children's programs. They go how they're supposed to. I like how I wasn't paying attention, but somebody said baby Jesus was born pretty violently last week, just whipped out and thrown in the cradle. Huh? Like, I'm sure every woman's like, we wish it's that fast and that easy, right? so it was quite humorous, but that's what children's programs are supposed to be, right? They're not supposed to be. Oh man, I did forget my glasses. I will need those. I mean, I could wing it, but I'm gonna have a hard time reading here. So it has been an interesting time off. Like the last Sunday I preached, and I got sick that following Wednesday, and it wasn't really bad sick, but it was just kind of humorous. Like, because I remember saying, I'm not gonna talk about COVID. I don't want to focus on COVID. I was like, that's been my whole life for the last month. So God's got a sense of humor still. But it's been good. It's been God's just, you know, kind of put me in a place. And as somebody asked me, so has God taught you really a lot of stuff in this last month? And I'm like, I've just kind of been out, you know, and I guess that's what I needed to do in the moment. So you can walk a little slower. That'd be good. Wow.
I'm trying to be quiet.
Don't wear such loud shoes. All right. Well, we are going to read the Christmas story this morning and out of Luke chapter 2. And it was interesting as I was kind of thinking about, you know, okay, Father, what do you want me to speak? I know it's Christmas time, and I don't know why, I just never paid attention to, we're going to read through the first 18 verses of Luke chapter 2, but we're going to focus on the account of the shepherds, which I've never really focused on before. And it was just really amazing to me what I saw out there in the last little while since I've been looking at it. So we are in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Cornelius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So that's where, you know, that's the big Christmas story. And that's the account of Jesus coming and being born in the inn. And that's where a lot of things get focused on. And we have, like last week, we had, you know, the little nativity set and we had the little shepherds come up and all that. But I have never, I mean, I've read through this countless times, but I guess I never saw the impact of the shepherds and what went on with them. And I don't know if you guys have paid attention or saw it, but let's look at this morning. Verse 8, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And it's kind of interesting, as I was like looking through this like yesterday and the day, and as I've been looking through this, it kind of reads as a call and response almost. If we go through these verses, kind of keep that in mind. It's almost like it is a script, if you will, this interaction. But here's these shepherds hanging out in the field. They're doing their job. They're doing their calling. right? They're out doing what they are supposed to do, what they're called to do. Some of them have probably been shepherds for generations. Maybe it's been a family thing. Do we ever stop and think about these guys hanging out? We just sang a song, the Poor Shepherds. Were they poor? I mean, they might be. But I'm saying they were kind of the lower echelon of society. Right, so here's these shepherds. They're out doing their job. They're out there doing their calling. And they're out there at night hanging out. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. So they're hanging out at night, and I love this story because, when it's dark here, it's really cold, right? So most of us aren't going to be hanging out in the field at night when it's super dark out. But I'm guessing you have been there. But you've been to Israel. Is it dark at night? Like really dark, right? So can you imagine that event, pitch black? There might be some stars out. But they're sitting here hanging out with their shepherds and with their sheep, and this angel shows up. And what I've never paid attention to, what I never saw before, is I thought that they were afraid because the angel showed up. That's not why they were afraid. Did you catch why they were afraid? Angel of the Lord appeared to them, and what? And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Here's the thing. Angel didn't bring the glory of God. The glory of God showed up with the angel. I never saw that before. And as I was looking through some things, this glory of the Lord is Shekinah glory. I can't imagine the same kind of glory that showed up when Moses saw the backside of God. I would be a little freaked out too. Okay, yeah, this angel just appears out of nowhere. That's, crazy enough as it is. But here's this glory of God that causes them to be fearful. Their life has just been irrevocably changed. This angel shows up and the glory of the Lord shines around the angel. No, it shines around them. So it goes from pitch black to, I think, more than daylight. Because I think the glory of God is more powerful and more light-giving than the brightest sun we ever see. I don't know that. It doesn't tell me that. But I'm just saying the glory of God's got to be way more spectacular than the sun. And I kind of wonder how far the glory of the Lord shone. You ever think about that? I like thinking about things that aren't in Scripture. I don't think I'm taking it out of context. I'm just thinking, let's think about the context. Right? They're out here in this field, and this glory of the Lord, the angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord shines around them. They're filled with this fear. And part of me goes like, why are they fearful? Because it's the glory of God. Why should you be fearful? You're in the presence of God. And here's the angel doing his job. This is another thing I thought about. It's like, and the angel of the Lord appeared. I wonder how much vying went for that position. I mean, do you ever think about that? We just think the angel showed up. What about all the other angels? Do you think they would have not wanted to show up to declare what we're going to look at? This is big news. I wonder how many polls and how many vying and how many, whatever angels do to get what they want, right? They do whatever God tells them to. But I'm saying, I know I'm putting it into human terms, but I'm saying, I'm imagining still that there are other angels that want to do this job. But this one, whatever angel it was, got to do this job, proclaim this, and here's this proclamation. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The good news of great joy. And I love this because this is what we're all about, is it not? We're anointed to bring this good news. The good news to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the good news. I don't know anything about what the education of shepherds were. I don't know if they understood what that this is fulfilling the prophecy out of Isaiah. I don't know if they knew that. I don't know how educated they were. I don't know what their education level was. But this event right here is fulfilling the prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. As they are glad when they divide the spoil for the yoke of his burden and the staff of for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. And then we go into the prophecy, and all that's important. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, I don't imagine that the shepherds were thinking about all those things if they knew it all in this moment. But when the angel says, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy," and this proclamation of the birth of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he goes on in his job and his calling, goes on to tell them, he doesn't just tell them what this great news is, he gives them very descriptive where to find him and what he's going to look like. I love that God is so descriptive, right? He doesn't leave it up to the shepherds to kind of guess where the Savior is and what he's going to look like. He says, "And this is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Pretty specific. They probably wouldn't think to look for a baby in a stall in a manger. They would look for whatever their equivalent of a hospital, or they may have in homes, I'm guessing. They wouldn't have looked in a manger. And the angel was very specific in his instructions of where they would find him. And this is why, when I said earlier about the angel, why there was vying for who got to go down, because here comes the rest of them, right? "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" I don't know why, as I was reading over this again last night, I was sitting in my office, and it says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts." Now, I'm going to be careful because we always assume it's angels. And I think there were angels, but heavenly hosts, do we know what heavenly hosts look like? I'm sure there was a lot of angels, right? It's just my imagination, but I think God's more creative. The heavenly hosts could be other things. I don't know what they are. But I'm saying, whatever it is to accentuate the point of how amazing this moment in time is. Not that angels aren't amazing. I've never seen one in person, to my knowledge. I've heard of people. My mom and dad had an encounter. But they weren't, showing up out of, the angel that they had an encounter with showed up and disappeared where he shouldn't have been able to disappear, right? But he didn't show up in, glowing clothes and everything that we have this imagination of what angels look like. Why do we have that imagination of what angels look like? Because I think a lot of times we take a few descriptions out of the Bible and we think all angels look like that, and I don't think that's accurate. I don't think all angels have wings. But whatever, whether it's a multitude of angels, which I'm sure were there, but whatever it is that showed up, now we have even more going on with these poor. Again, this was brought not to the elite of the land, to some shepherds hanging out in the field with their sheep, given this amazing message that their Savior was born. So they make this proclamation, this great multitude of heavenly hosts, and then this verse 15, and when the angels went away from them and into heaven, they just disappear. I love this. I don't know. I see funny things. The shepherds said to one another, I would love to know the conversation between another and let us go. There's a space there, and I'm sure it wasn't like, oh, they all disappeared. Let's go. I think there was a little more said in that little bit of space. All right? That's just me because I know people, and I'm just saying, if I was hanging out with my buddies out in the field and angel showed up and said this and left, you know, it would take me a little while to, did I really see that? Did we really experience that? Did you see that? Or we, you know, did we, you know, eat something? Did we get it wrong? You know, mushroom in our dinner? I mean, I don't know, right? But see, here's the thing. We read these stories every single Christmas season. And I haven't unpacked it like I've seen it in the last week that I've been looking at them. God's like, look at the shepherds. Look at the shepherds. So whatever conversation went on in that space, at one point, the shepherds say, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And I love their response. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So the shepherds have this message downloaded on them in a way that we can't even imagine. We have the account, but again, I think those of us who've been in church for a long time and have read these accounts in history and moments in time, I think we, at least for me, I have stopped and I've forgotten the wonder of them. And I've made them a small event. They're something that we make a cute children's program out of, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But if that's where we leave it, we miss the power and the wonder and the majesty. And we miss these shepherds. They're not even named. And they have this amazing story to tell. And they go and they tell Mary and Joseph, who are living this, they tell them what has happened to them. It didn't happen to Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary got to hang out with the angel, right? So she had her own encounter. Joseph had the encounter in a dream. So they have something to base it on. But here's these shepherds showing up. And I love that their response is to go find as quickly as possible and tell as quickly as possible. And they didn't let their social status hold them back. They did. I'm sure they had people going, man, you guys are crazy and you guys are, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing out in the field, but you guys are nuts. I guarantee you that was said to them. Because that's what we would say to people walking into our church today and going, a bunch of angels just showed up when I was out snow machining. I'd be like, you better stop sniffing this fuel, right? I mean, but that's what we would say to people. Again, we take these amazing events in time, and we forget that these are still people, just like we are people today. And this was no less miraculous. This wasn't an everyday occurrence for these shepherds. Angels didn't just show up every night and talk to them. But I love their response. They didn't care. They didn't care what their status was. They didn't hinder their limiting in telling their message of good news that a Savior had been born, and he is for all people. And I guess the thing for me this morning as I was looking through this and what Father was talking to me personally about, I was like, look, we all have a calling. And I think we're too quick to label them jobs. And we can look at people in the different social statuses and think that they don't have any value because of their economic standing or their education or whatever it is. And think that they have no value. We live in a society that I don't think has valued people for a long time. I mean, they say all the words, but their words are worthless because they don't have any power. We're trying to make everybody equal. We're trying to make everybody have the same whatever it is out there. But we're all nothing. None of us are equal except at the foot of the cross. That makes us equal. When we have the enjoying of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that makes us on this level playing field. And having the same heart of these shepherds, that's what was really hitting me. It's like, man, I want to have that heart of a shepherd where when God shows up, and yes, we'll probably never have that same kind of experience where an angel shows up, tells us something, and a bunch more show up and just accentuate the point. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying the likelihood for most of us probably won't happen. But is it any less powerful when we read God's word and he shows up and speaks to us? Is that any less powerful? And when he tells us something that we need to proclaim to a brother or a sister, and maybe it's good news, maybe it's hard news, are we quick to respond to that? Or do we drag our feet and wonder and I don't see anywhere in here when the shepherds got the messages, they all, let's pray about it. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about things, but I know for myself, there's been times I've used that phrase and I've been disobedient in doing so. I know the answer. I don't need to pray about it. I just need to get off my duff and go with haste and do what I need to do, what Father has called me to do, to say, to be. And that's what I love about this account. The shepherds did what they were supposed to do. The angel did what he was supposed to do. The heavenly hosts did what they were supposed to do. And we have this account, and we have this message of hope and of great joy, which is for all people. Out there is a Savior, and he was born. But the greater news is he's not a baby anymore. And man, we talk about it all the time, but man, we need to be like the shepherds. We need to proclaim the same great message of great joy, which is for all the people that they have a Savior. Who was born in the most lowly of positions. And that wasn't unintentional. Because if he would have been born in a castle or in a great home, that would have eliminated in some people's minds that he was only for the rich people, the educated people, the people of higher standard. But he was born on the lowest, this is just my own thoughts. But I believe he was born on the lowest level possible so that he eliminated all those excuses. That he truly is, we know this, but he truly is a Savior for all people. Regardless of what we look like, regardless of our race, our nationality, any of that. And we have got to get to this place where we are proclaiming the good, unfiltered, unaltered message of hope and peace to a world that has heard more judgment and condemnation as our message instead of the message of hope and peace and amazing love that we have here in these few verses we looked at this morning. And we should be counted, have people look at us like you're nuts. I'll be nuts. That's awesome. We need to be a people that are totally unafraid of proclaiming this message of hope. This isn't just a Christmas story. This isn't every single day, 365 days a year story. That we need to be proclaiming. That we need to be reminding each other of. That when we hit in those places of hard things, especially this last year with all the things that all of us have faced, different kinds of trials and tribulations and heartache and hardships. But God is still God. He hasn't changed from this moment in time to now. He can take an angry son that's yelling and screaming in his office as recent as last night and going, I have nothing to say to your people tomorrow. He's like, you're right, you don't, I do. Why? Because he's the God of peace and joy and love that has nothing to do with how I feel or how you feel or how anyone feels. But when we step into this great message, when we step into this great thing of hope, we are changed. So my prayer this morning is that we be like the shepherds. And I love that it said that they were afraid when they encountered the glory of God. Nowhere in that account does it say they stopped being afraid. I'm sure they did, but I think there was still that moment of wonder. We have an amazing, powerful God. There's a piece of that fear that is right and healthy and good. But not from a place that paralyzes us to do nothing. We need to step into the glory of God and let it get on us. Like, I don't know, like I remember the Shekinah glory in the account of Moses and how he had to put a veil over his face because he's so shining. That doesn't say that about the shepherds. But I kind of wonder, right? I kind of wonder what it was like for them in the days that followed this account. We don't have the rest of the story with these shepherds. How much was their life messed up because of this one encounter? How much is our life messed up with the one encounter we have? When we bring our brokenness and our woundedness and our faults and our failures and our sins into the glory of God, and let his glory transform all those things. That's what changes lives. That's what will change the people's thought processes when we think we're preaching at them and we're being judgmental. That won't change anything. But when we bring, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we bring the presence of God into that situation, that's what changes things, nothing else. That's what they need to hear. They need to hear the message of good news that they have a Savior that loves them right where they are at. Because he continues to love me right where I am at. Does he want more from me? Does he want me to step into deeper and more stuff? Yes, he does, and I do that as best of my ability. But when I have those days and those moments, and I get in a bad place, and he's like, look, son, you can rant and rave all you want, but I am still here. I am still the faithful God. I'm not going anywhere. Even though you think it feels like I've gone, I'm still here. Everyone needs to know that. And it's our calling to proclaim that with haste. We don't have time to ding around. We never have. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I thank you for your opening my eyes to a, at times you've made a simple story. A simple moment in time that wasn't simple at all. It was full of power. It was full of purpose. It was full of your glory. It transformed these shepherds in ways that we don't even know. We can only imagine. But Father, we still have access to that same kind of glory every single day. It may not manifest itself in the same way, but Father, we have access to you. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have Jesus sitting at your right hand interceding for us. We have the message of the greatest gift people could ever receive. And this isn't just a Christmas thing. It's a year-round thing. It's a year-round proclamation that we must be giving away. Father, I know there's so much things that are out there with the world and things that they have such a, at times, bad taste in their mouth concerning the church, concerning your bride, concerning what their perceptions are of you because they've been told or experienced through broken people. Father, I pray when we are given opportunities to speak into people's lives, whether it's each other's or the world out there who have no idea who you are, that our words, that our attitudes, that the presence of you in our lives just flows in such a way that we just disappear. And all they experience and all they run into is you. I love that you came to the lowliest of social status. Your message is still the same. It hasn't stopped. We get to be part of the continuance of the story, of this proclamation that the angel came and told the shepherds, and the shepherds went and told Mary and Joseph, and I'm sure countless other people. Father, may we have the boldness to step into those situations. May our hearts break for the same things and the same people that break your heart. We become not so callous to things that are going on and huddle up in our little collective places, but that we're going out, whatever that looks like for us. And carrying your good news with us. Because we know that we are your ambassadors. That's what you call us. And I'm so beyond grateful that you've equipped us to do what you've called us to do. May we just go with haste. May we just not be satisfied with where we have been. And if where we have been has been good, Father, there's always more good with you. And above all things this morning, Father, I just pray for your peace and your joy and your love just to permeate our lives so so much that it just, we can't contain it all. We can't contain it all anyway, but that it just goes in us and through us to and gets on everyone around us, because people need peace today. They need joy, true joy today. They need to feel real love from your bride today. Father, may we love each other and those around us like we have been loved. As we go into this next week of celebrating Christmas, Father, with our friends and families, however that looks for us, may we remember what this is truly all about. That it's all about this great message of great joy, that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is for all the people. We thank you. And again, those words are so small and inadequate to convey our gratitude that we get the opportunity to be part of this story, that we get to have a relationship with you, that we get to be part of what you're doing here in this place, in this time. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.